This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. Voters go to the polls next Tuesday to vote in primary elections, and residents will have an important decision whether to take a Republican or a Democratic ballot. It's not an insignificant choice, since in some races, the winner of the primary is all but guaranteed to carry the general election in November. That means some voters, in effect, will have to pass on their chance to meaningfully elect, or affect, rather, the outcome of certain races. We talk about that now with Alabama Media Group columnist John Archibald. He joins us to talk politics most Thursdays. And good morning, John. Good to have you here.
Andrew.
Explain a little bit more this dynamic that's created with this party primary system in Alabama.
Well, you sum it up. And there are places like Crestwood, for instance, is a good example, where if you're voting on your House representative, then the incumbent is Patricia Todd. That race is going to be decided right there in that primary. So if you choose to vote in that race, if you choose to vote as a Democrat, then you can vote in that race. But if you do that, you aren't able then to vote for, say, your congressional representative, because that's a race that's going to be decided in the Republican primary. And so it creates a situation where you really don't get a chance to vote on the person in a meaningful way. And our districts, in so many cases, are so gerrymandered into Democratic or Republican districts that it happens over and over again.
And so those primary elections become the ones that are ultimately more meaningful, but you see an alternative out there.
Well, yeah, it's not a panacea or anything, and it doesn't, and it might not even solve that problem, but there are a number of states. Louisiana's done it for a long time. Washington, Nebraska, California has just gone to it, called a top two system. Basically, all the candidates on the get on one ballot in one primary, and voters vote regardless of party, and the top two duke it out in the general election, and people in those states seem to think it works pretty well.
And now, of course, you said it wasn't a panacea. It doesn't solve all the problems. And it seems like, at least in Alabama, that might not change who actually wins, because generally a well-financed candidate wins. As you said, districts are gerrymandered, so a strong Republican or Democrat that might have won anyway might win under the system still.
Sure. And there are criticisms that it doesn't give independent candidates a real shot. It does get them a chance on the ballot, but it doesn't make it any easier for them to win, of course. And it seems to work best, I think, in statewide races, really, and some of the more local races doesn't have a lot of an effect.
Any chance you see a change to the primary system in Alabama?
No, honestly, no, because let's face it, the politicians have spent a lot of time in those smoky back rooms putting together gerrymandered districts in large part to preserve their own political power for their party. I mean, that's what we do, party building in this state. Just Democrats did it when they were in power. Republicans did it when they're in power. So the thought of actually giving it up, seems a little far-fetched.
Also this morning, census estimates aren't usually something people get excited about, but for Birmingham boosters, the 2013 population estimate for the city contains some good news. Birmingham added 672 people last year. That's not much growth, but what it does mean is for the first time in decades, the city isn't losing people. Now, John, how significant is this?
Let's be real. It's 672 people. So whatever you take it with a grain of salt. But it is good news. It's really the second consecutive year that estimates have shown a slight, well, last year it was a slow, and now it's a stop and a turnaround. And so I mean, I think you take your good news where you can, and a reversal is certainly better than the sieve it's been.
Well, there certainly is a feeling of momentum in places, particularly with development downtown or in Avondale. And it's against that backdrop that Birmingham Mayor William Bell has mentioned it's kind of been a toxic word in Birmingham politics, and that's a dome. He wants to push for a multi-purpose facility. For those who might not know the history, sort of why is that word so charged?
Well, we fought this fight over a dome for 20 years now, and it's been voted on by people. People remember that under Larry Langford, got the council to pass a one-cent sales tax for a dome, which then the city turned around and used in order to keep itself from going into the red, and is still, frankly, using to prop up its finances. So it's been long and contentious, and looks like it still will be.
Well, with this talk of a dome revived, or multi-purpose facility, as backers like to say, what do you think now that it's out there again?
There's a certain segment that really wants it, but the reaction I've heard from readers and people is, oh, no, anything but that, because They see some organic development. They see smaller scale development, which shouldn't be understated or underestimated. But the thought of a dome without a team, that sort of thing, it seems like a sort of antiquated idea, really.
Yeah, and a price tag that could be as much as $500 million.
Exactly.
I guess, do you see this talk actually going anywhere?
Well, I mean, it could, because there's always an effort to do that. I mean, it is one of those things that they really have always seen to make the Birmingham, the BJCC area complete, and there are people who have it on their mind. So I think we will get proposals for it, and it will continue. There'll be a lot of talk. Whether we get a $500 million dome is another thing.
John Archibald is a columnist for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his column each Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday in the Birmingham News, online anytime at AL.com. John, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.